Rest in peace, Stan Lee. And more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hello, and welcome to The Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and this is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. And if you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the live show. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and make sure you click that follow button if you haven't already so that you can be notified when we go live. And keep in mind, we do this daily, so if you're missing the news, you're missing the news, if you know what I'm saying. If you're tuning in via the podcast, be sure to tap the subscribe button so that you don't miss out on the latest episode. But do keep in mind, welcome to you guys as well, that the podcast is about a day behind, and you really should be joining us live over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. Finally, we are on Discord, where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions, both during or after the show. Visit technewsgadget.net/discord to get your free invite today. And matter of fact, Discord is actually kind of quiet, so I guess you guys don't really have any questions, rants, or suggestions. It's mainly been Octavius in there ranting and raving and throwing a fit and posting articles and manner of funny internet memes. I don't know. Octavius is my pet octopus. He's also my show producer, but he seems to hang out more on Mixer, hanging out with everybody and posting stuff. And I don't think he's understanding Discord really much. Maybe he needs training on that. So if you guys want to help him out, be sure to let me know or let him know. He's supposed to be doing stuff anyways. Also, we do have a giveaway going on this month, and if you haven't already entered, you have plenty of time. Giveaway goes until the end of November. You have until November 30th to enter. Well, right now you're probably asking, well, what do you win in said giveaway? Well, let's see. Do you play Fortnite? Because if you do, this one is for you guys. You have a chance at winning 13,500 V-Bucks. Yes, that's right. 13,500 V-Bucks, plus an annual subscription to our Insiders membership, plus 2 coupon codes to give away to your friends so that they can join you with the Insiders membership and find out all the fun that's going on being a Tech News Gadget Insider. I'll give you a hint. If you're a Tech News Gadget Insider, you can unlock the entire video archive of this entire show, along with an exclusive Discord server role, Facebook group, and more. For more details and to enter, visit technewsgadget.net/giveaway. You do have entries that you can enter every month. We're adding new things every single day, new options for you to win. Essentially, the more entries that you have in this giveaway, the more chances you have of winning. So be sure and go ahead and head on over to technewsgadget.net/giveaway for your chance to win today. So, all right, I got that out of the way, and I didn't mess it up. Octavius tried to put in some spelling typos. Dumb, I'm smart, I can read English. He thinks he reads Spanish. I'm not going to get into any argument with Octavius today. He's already caused too much trouble. He's kind of being a little bit of a lazy bum, too, so feel free to smack him around in live chat if you guys want to, but just be a little bit nice to him. Don't smack him too hard. He's made of gel, or he's an octopod, so he might just squirt ink all over you. I don't know if that'll be a good option. Take it as you will. With the grain of salt, you've been duly warned. So, before we can get into the tech news of today, we always have to take a look back on today in tech history, and being that today is November 12th, 2018, on this day in history, and this actually came up in a trivia question that I had probably like a month or two ago. On November 12th, 2000, Bill Gates demonstrates a functional prototype of a tablet PC. Microsoft claims the tablet PC will represent the next major evolution in PC design and functionality, declaring that tablets are the future. However, the tablet PC initiative never really took off, and it isn't until Apple introduces the iPad in 2010, a decade later, that tablet computing is widely adopted. So Microsoft essentially failed at the tablet initiative in three ways. First, they tried to simply adapt Windows, a system designed for use with a keyboard and mouse, for use with a touchscreen pen interface, which is totally different. Apple made them look like idiots when it came to their interface. By their own words, they are incorporating the convenient and intuitive aspects of pencil and paper into the PC experience rather than innovating it. And finally, Microsoft led the design of the hardware their OEM partners, most of whom are not especially well known for innovating designs. Most tablet PCs were considered too big, heavy, and expensive, plus the required pen and stylus was prone to loss. All of these factors left the tablet PCs in 2000 collecting dust, if they were sold at all. But obviously Apple said, hey, guess what? We can do something better. And finally, on this day, 1990, Tim Berners-Lee submits a proposal for a hypertext project he calls the World Wide Web. In this proposal, he lays out his vision for what will, of course, become the modern web. In about 3 months, he will have a web browser ready, and in only another 3 months, the first web server will go online, marking the launch of the World Wide Web. So, there you have it. That's all the tech history news we have for today. Let's head on over to today's tech news, if I can figure out how to talk. Ay, ay, ay. So, first up today, comic book legend Stan the Man Lee passes away at the age of 95. So today, Marvel Comics and the Walt Disney Company pause and reflect with great sadness on the passing of Marvel Chairman Emeritus Stan Lee. With a heavy heart, we share our deepest condolences with his daughter and brother, and we honor and remember the creator, voice, and champion of Marvel. Stan Lee was as extraordinary as the characters he created, a superhero in his own right to Marvel's fans around the world. Stan had the power to inspire, to entertain, and to connect. The scale of his imagination was only exceeded by the size of his heart, said Bob Iger, chairman and CEO of the Walt Disney Company. Stanley Martin Lieber, did you know that was his name, aka Stan Lee, loved the written word from an early age and wanted to craft stories like those in his favorite books and films, which he consumed voraciously. From a simple upbringing in a teeming landscape of Manhattan, young Stanley worked his way through a succession of jobs until the day he found himself an assistant at a comic book publishing company, Timely Comics. In between refilling artist inkwells, erasing pencil lines from comic pages, and fetching an untold number of lunches, Stanley expressed his desire to write and create tales of his own. In the May 1941 issue of Captain America Comics No. 3, he got his wish. Readers would find a prose story in that issue, Captain America Foils the Traitor's Revenge, sporting the byline of Stan Lee. A star was born. As Stan's roles and tenure with Timely Comics grew and evolved, so did the company itself. With Stan at its helm, Timely Comics morphed first into Atlas Comics and then into the name that would catapult it into legend and forever be synonymous with Stan Lee, a Marvel Comics. As Marvel's editor-in-chief, Stan the Man Lee made his voice the voice of the stories themselves, writing virtually every Marvel title and working in with such luminaries as Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, Don Heck, Gene Colan, and John Romita. Stan began building a universe of interlocking continuity, one where fans felt as if they could turn a street corner and run into a superhero. A rich collection of characters grew out of his non-stop plotting sessions with his artists, including the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Thor, the Iron Man, the Hulk, the X-Men, and more. Today, it would be almost impossible to find a corner of the Marvel Universe that Stan didn't have a hand in. And speaking to that effect, they filmed so many scenes and sequences for Marvel Comics in virtually every Marvel movie. Stan Lee's made an appearance in one way, shape, or form. I don't know how they managed to get this guy in, but they do. And they obviously have an idea of how they're going to film it and how they're going to include him in it. And then just they filmed all of this in advance, obviously. But yeah, well, I mean, we kind of figured that Stan Lee didn't have too much longer left, but 95, wow. So rest in peace, Stan Lee. You were a legend in your own right. And for those names that I was mentioning, Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, Don Heck, those were the artists. Those are the people, other writers, very well known in their own right, very well known for their own art. And you brought them all together under Marvel Comics. And yeah. So, but we kind of figured the day was coming. He's obviously transitioned out of a role and left it in other capable hands. And I think how Marvel innovated itself in the more recent history into going actually insane, hey, comic books are kind of on a decline. People want to consume content online and digitally now. Sure, we have options now with digital comic book subscriptions and things of that nature, and being able to consume it on your smartphone and look at the digital comics and everything. People like scrolling more rather than swiping. I don't know, it's this weird fantasy with smart devices. Unless you have an iPad or a Kindle or a tablet of sorts, then you can actually see everything easier. But I think Marvel Comics took a look at it and said, hey, what if we made movies, like superhero movies? Like, what if we took the stories that we told in the comic books and made it into a movie, but connected all of them together and had this whole interweaving story that we could tease each other after in the end credits and tease this and tease that and constantly bring it up. Phase one was their test. Worked out great. Phase two, even better. Made DC jealous. DC Comics, biggest competitor. They're still slacking behind, trying to figure out their own space at the same time, and Marvel's like, huh, we're gone, moving into phase three. So phase three, apparently, as far as I've told, hits next year, when they're going to start this whole new line of movies and story arcs and characters and superheroes and villains and such like that. I don't even know what they have in the works, but yeah, it's Stan Lee, the man, the myth, the legend, started it all. So you will be remembered, Stan Lee, and thank you so much for your contributions to comic book and storytelling in general. Alright, well, after that sad piece of news, it's been about a half hour now, so you guys can go feel free to take a break, because this next article is actually an advice article. It says, to feel less depressed and lonely, limit social media use to 30 minutes a day, according to researchers. A number of studies have by now correlated social media use with mental health-related risks, such as loneliness and a stupid gnat flying around. I'm going to find you and kill you. Sorry. It just happens. Usually if the gnat doesn't show up, I'm usually fine. I sure hope it doesn't show up again, or else I'm going to snap. But correlation isn't causation, leaving a bit of a chicken and egg problem. Is social media actually behind these issues of loneliness and depression, or are people who are already depressed and lonely just more likely to spend time on social media? A new study being published in December's Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology by researchers at the University of Pennsylvania has tried to look into the casual side of things and see whether people may actually feel better when they cut down on social media. Its conclusion, our findings strongly suggest that limiting social media use to approximately 30 minutes per day may lead to improved significant well-being. The group, led by Melissa Hunt, Associate Director of Clinical Training at the university, could find only two previous studies that experimentally tested the cause and effect relationship between social media and mental health issues. Both focused only on Facebook and left plenty of room for further research. So, obviously the researchers recruited 143 undergrad students for two different trials, one in the spring and one in the fall. Each subject had to have Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and an iPhone. They monitored the students for a week to get a baseline reading of their current social media use, gave them questionnaires to assess their well-being according to seven different factors, that being social support, fear of missing out, loneliness, autonomy, and self-acceptance, which was a mixture of psychological well-being, anxiety, depression, and self-esteem. Next, they ran their experiment. For the next 3 weeks, one randomly assigned group would keep using social media as it had always did, and the other had to limit its use of Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat to 10 minutes per platform per day. So here's essentially the bottom line. Using less social media than you would normally would lead to significant decreases in both depression and loneliness. These effects are particularly pronounced for folks who are more depressed when they came into the study. So if you feel depressed or lonely, why don't you just stop hanging out on social media? Turn off your phone, read a book, talk with some friends, maybe your family, go out for a run. I mean, I'm part of this weird conundrum where if you were to ask me my two favorite things that I love doing, number one would be to be outside, number two would be to be on a computer. Why? I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. I like being outside and enjoying nature, and I love going on hikes, and I love recreational sports, Ultimate Frisbee namely. I love hiking. I like being outside. I don't know what it is. It has a nice calm, relaxing, refreshing feel to it. But at the same time, I like being on a computer. I like researching information. I like learning new things. I like breaking things on the internet. That's essentially how I came into this whole realm of computers to begin with. I checked out every single book on computers from the library, proceeded to learn every single language, some of which was too far and above my skill level. Yes, I even dabbled in creating computers. Like putting, buying hardware and assembling a computer, broke that, fixed it. I don't know. My dad attributes it to me being a gearhead, but not in a way that he is with cars, because him and his brothers enjoy cars and reading about cars and learning about cars. I'm more of like the tech head, where that same idea applies, but to computers. when it comes to a computer, yes, I've assembled and disassembled a computer. I've put one together. I've broken it numerous times and fixed it. And when it comes to websites, I've learned everything there is to learn about it and broken it numerous times. Yep, when it comes to video games, I've done the same thing. When it comes to video, I've done the same thing. When it comes to audio, I've done the same thing. I've had a podcast since, oh goodness, years now. So yeah, obviously, I have this weird fascination with two different aspects of it. How about you guys? Be sure to let me know. I can't be the only one who enjoys being outside and enjoying the computers and playing video games. I don't know. I was actually looking at an interesting comic the other day where it said kids in 1990s were basically outside all the time and their mothers were yelling at them to stay outside all the, or get back inside. You can't be outside all the time, and limiting their outdoor time and saying, oh, if you play sports too much, you know, you don't have a life. And then the next panel of the comic was them inside on a video game and their mother dragging them by the ear to try and get them to go outside. And it was the panel for that graphic was like 2010s, 2000s, something like that. But yeah, so in literally like 10, 20 years of difference, you know, we're here we are arguing about kids being outside too much to go inside and spend some time inside to now being inside too much and having to go outside. This is so weird. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about it. I'm glad you don't have to worry about it either, because if you had a problem before with spending too much time inside, well, you could say, hey, Mom, I'm training to become a professional esports gamer like Ninja. No. Let's see how that goes. But yeah, it's true. In Korea, a lot of people are just spending hours upon hours and qualifying for tournaments and putting teams together and getting sponsorships and taking the world stage and winning millions of dollars and getting worldwide fame and recognition for playing a video game. Yeah, this is the world that we live in. It's quite incredible. But this article essentially has a point. Don't let this be all-consuming. Okay? Take a break from it. If you feel you're getting depressed and lonely, take a break. I don't know. Go to the zoo. Go, I don't know, go for a walk. Go for a hike. Go to the lake. Go hang out with real friends in real life and family in real life. And then when you've had your fill and you feel refreshed or you feel some semblance of normalcy, come on back. The internet will always be here. I guarantee you're not going to miss out much. Not much at all. Alright, all you Xbox fans, we got some news for you guys. Xbox One will be receiving mouse and keyboard support next week during its big event over the weekend. Microsoft confirmed, along with a bunch of other trailers, that support for mouse and keyboard will be arriving for Xbox One next week, with a bunch of titles to receive the feature right off the bat. Among these will be Fortnite and Warframe, as well as Bomber Crew and Deep Rock Galactic. Strange Brigade, Vermintide 2, War Thunder, and X-Morph Defense will also have mouse and keyboard support patched in later this month, while Children of Morta, DayZ, Minion Master, Moonlighter, Vigor, Warframe, and Wargroove will also receive support in the future. When the update launches next week, all developers will have the tools they need to create tailored mouse and keyboard experiences for their games as they see fit to ensure a fair and fun experience for fans. So presumably you won't have to worry about being destroyed if you're using a controller, but we'll believe it when we see it. I know currently the biggest argument is console gamers on Fortnite are better than PC gamers, but then you have people saying, well, PC gamers are better builders than those in Fortnite on Xbox. My controller sucks, I can't build that fast. Like, well, duh, because I can take a button on my mouse and I can just assign, like, okay, I have like three or four buttons on my mouse outside of the two that I click for shooting and reloading or sighting, actually shooting and sighting down to sights. And I can literally just, with one hand, just go, I can have a whole building set up in like 2 seconds. Whereas if you have a controller, then you have to switch between that and you have to switch between that. Well, I remember, keep in mind, for those of you interested in playing Fortnite, I did cover maybe a couple of weeks back something about they're trying to figure out some balancing in Fortnite so that those who have these weird controllers, well, keyboard and mouse systems hooks into their Xbox to not be completely unfair to those who have controllers. But then again, if you get destroyed by a person playing on mobile, man, you must be really bad at the game. So I would just say, whatever system you're playing on, Fortnite or what have you, keep playing it on that system and get better at it. Because you may just find out you may be better than most other people on the same system using the controller than most of the rest of them are. And then you might also find out cross-platform that you might be better than the mobile and PC players too. So who knows? We'll see. So good luck. So a bit of the funny news today. Apparently Domino's is making fun of the Diablo Immortal reveal to sell pizza. Yes, Domino's Pizza, the pizza joint, had a jab at the Diablo Immortal reveal during BlizzCon 2018 in a Facebook promotion for its treasure chest deal. Now, for those of you who don't know, I reported on this earlier this month. I didn't know that it was going to be this bad. I didn't know that the backlash was going to be this bad. Okay, apparently I was out of touch with a lot of you Blizzard folks who actually enjoy Diablo and the ensuing game around all of it. I thought it actually sounded pretty neat. I never really ever played Diablo. Most I ever did was maybe briefly looking at the story and going, oh, that's nice. Same with StarCraft. Oh, that's nice. But I mainly played World of Warcraft and Overwatch, so sue me if I got it wrong, but apparently you guys are right. Apparently the Diablo Immortal reveal tanked badly. So a Facebook post by Domino's Pizza Malaysia contains an image that at the top reads, "This is not an out-of-season April Fool's joke." This is a reference to the moment during the Q&A session for the Diablo Immortal reveal when one member of the audience asked, "Is it an out-of-season April Fool's joke?" No, I wouldn't necessarily go and say that. The Facebook image also has a man, presumably a Domino's employee, standing in front of a microphone and wearing the same outfit as the audience member who posed a question to the Diablo Immortal developers. Taking it further still, the text in the Facebook post references the reveal event several times. No diabolical plans here. We just want you to level up your gaming experience. Immortalize your characters with our treasure chest items when you get pizzas from Domino's. Order here to claim your items quick before Diablo away by a Blizzard. Oh, goodness. So, there you go. So in case you're wondering, well, apparently they had a Q&A session. They had a little video that went along with it. It kind of went something like this.
Hey, just was wondering, is this an out-of-season April Fool's joke?
No, it's a fully-fledged Diablo experience on mobile, which everybody will get to play.
So apparently, let's see, here's the image in question that was posted to their post on the Malaysia page of Domino's Pizza. Yeah, you will get a treasure chest when you purchase our pizzas. Ah, Domino's, you're so funny. So apparently, Blizzard had received a huge backlash from fans after the Diablo Immortal reveal. It seems that the reason for this is because many of them were expecting Blizzard to announce either Diablo 2 Remaster or Diablo 4 for PC. Instead, Diablo Immortal is a mobile game, and maybe they jumped ahead of themselves on it. Apparently so, because Activision Blizzard stock crashed by 7.4% right after the reveal, seemingly due to the negative reaction it received. However, it has been reported that a Diablo 4 reveal was pulled from BlizzCon 2018 at the last moment. So, remains to be seen. Alright, how many of you gamers play using Steam? You know, that app where you can buy video games and you can download it right to your computer and you can play any number of video games and team up with your friends and talk and all manner of fun. Well, apparently there was a bug in Steam that allowed unlimited free downloads. Don't worry, it's been patched. So for you eager beavers looking at wanting to take a shot at, you know, hey, check it out! Well, and apparently has been given $20,000 for discovering a bug in the Steam video game store that let people download any game for free. Security researcher Artem Moskowski found a flaw in Steam's portal for games that let anybody generate license keys without paying for them. Millions of people use Steam to buy and download games on PC and Mac computers. He told Steam owner Valve about the bug and it awarded him the money as part of its bug bounty scheme. So he probably actually made more money from that. Many companies reward people who privately disclose security problems so they can be fixed rather than sharing the information online. Apparently told the news site The Register that he discovered the problem by accident when exploring the Steam partner portal. Apparently, the portal lets game studios generate license keys for the software so they can give a copy to fans or journalists to review, but he found that modifying the request let anybody generate thousands of codes for any game they wanted. These could theoretically be sold on the black market online. He managed to bypass the verification of ownership of the game by changing only one parameter, so Valve awarded him $15,000 and a $5,000 bonus for making the private disclosure. The flaw has since been fixed. So if you're looking to try and cash out on that, you missed out. But if you're looking at trying to make money finding bugs on Steam, feel free. They actually have a bounty going on. More sad news today. Apparently the Five Nights at Freddy's movie has been delayed. For those of you wondering, what the heck is Five Nights at Freddy's? You guys have been living under a rock, you should really get up with the times. And for those of you who do know what I'm talking about, apparently there was a movie, and that movie's been delayed. We don't even have a release date on the movie, but the movie's been delayed. Why? Because currently a new AAA game is in the works. So apparently Scott Cawthon's Five Nights at Freddy's series shows no signs of slowing down, with a feature film, a new sequel, updated console ports, and a new big-budget game in development. Cawthon outlined the future for Five Nights at Freddy's on Steam earlier today, starting with the bad news. The movie based on a horror game has been delayed, even though it didn't have an announced release date. Earlier this year, Blumhouse Productions announced that it was developing a live-action Five Nights at Freddy's movie with director Chris Columbus, who previously directed for Mrs. Doubtfire, Harry Potter, and the Sorcerer's Stone at the helm. But Cawthon said that this movie will take a little longer to complete, as he's thrown out the original script. Apparently, they had to redo it. He had a script written, Jason Blum liked it, and Chris Columbus liked it, but I tossed it. I had a different idea for one that I liked better, and I take personal responsibility for the delay. It's my fault. Scott said that he's determined to find the right story, which has been his challenge. He's focusing on the story told during the first 3 Five Nights at Freddy's games for his movie script. I'm sticking to what I've always said. Either the right movie gets made, or no movie gets made at all. I hate delaying a project that's seen so many delays, but I have to go with my instincts and what I think will be exciting and interesting, and what I think the fan base will really want to see. Well, yeah, why make a movie that's totally different from the video game? That's like telling people who grew up reading the book series that they're going to make a movie about it, and then, switching everything on them, going, wait, why did you change this character, and this part was missing from the movie, and this part didn't make any sense at all, and why did you add this in here? Why couldn't you just stuck with the original thing? You want to know what the greatest book to movie ever was? I'll give you a hint. Princess Bride. You want to know why? Because the person who wrote the book was the screenwriter for the movie, and he said, and I quote, either this gets made the way that I wrote the book, or it's not getting made at all. And it's kind of become a cult legend in its own right. A movie unconquerable by its own right. It's kind of like Napoleon Dynamite, the standalone movie that can hold its own weight, or, what have you. But, be careful about how you do stuff. I don't know why they think, I don't know. Am I wrong in thinking this, guys? Sure, let me know on social media, at Tech News Gadget on Twitter, on the Discord server, in the live chat, whether, if you think it would be okay if the movie for Five Nights at Freddy's was different from the video game, or if it should mirror the video game so that you can actually figure out what was going on. I don't know. Might make it more interesting that way. Or something completely different. Who knows? But be sure to let me know your thoughts. Apparently, Scott went on to say, if that means I have to start over 10 more times, then that's what I'm going to do. The good thing is that each attempt gets better and better, in my opinion, so despite the delays, it's going in the right direction. On the gaming side of things, he said that there are virtual reality and augmented reality games based on Five Nights at Freddy's in development, as well as, quote, new improved HD ports of all the original games for Android, iOS, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. There's also a AAA game based on the series, although it's said to be very early in development. There's a big deal in the works to create an incredible big-budget game. I can't reveal any details yet, as this project is still in its planning stages, but I'm working closely with the studio to ensure that it delivers what I think Five Nights at Freddy's fans will want to see. The most recent game in the Five Nights at Freddy's series, Ultimate Custom Night, was released in June. Cawthon describes the game as the ultimate mashup with more than 50 selectable characters and custom difficulties. So there you have it, Five Nights at Freddy's fans, enjoy. And for the final news that we have coming in for today, for those of you Pokemon Go and Pokemon Let's Go players or fans, did you know that you can connect and transfer Pokemon from Pokemon Go to Pokemon Let's Go and back? It's true. Apparently, the Japanese site for Let's Go has been updated with details on how to connect Let's Go and Pokemon Go, along with information on what can and can't be transferred, along with just restrictions caused by transferring. And for those of you wondering, this article, as well as all the other articles mentioned in today's show, will be available at technewsgadget.net, the show notes for this episode. As we know, in Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, once you get to Fuchsia City, you will unlock Go Park, which allows you to transfer Pokemon to the games from Pokemon Go. There are 20 parks, and each can hold 50 Pokemon. That theoretically makes it to where you can have 1,000 Pokemon in Go Park at any given time. The Go Park complex in the game will be where the Safari Zone was in Pokemon Red, Blue, Green, and Yellow, which is in the northern area of the city. Basically, it's going to be hard to miss. So then they go on to have some settings of how to connect Pokemon Go to Let's Go. Apparently, you have to tap the Pokeball icon, tap Settings, scroll down and tap Nintendo Switch, tap Connect to Nintendo Switch, and then you have to go into the game itself on the Switch, open the pause menu, open the settings menu, click Pokemon Go. It'll ask you if you want to pair with Pokemon Go, select yes. It will verify the trainer you're connecting with. So apparently you need to be on the same Wi-Fi network with your phone as the Nintendo Switch is on. You should be successfully connected. And then you can send Pokemon from Pokemon Go to Let's Go by tapping the Pokeball icon, tapping the Pokemon, tapping the Nintendo Switch icon in the upper right corner, selecting your Pokemon to send, and after you select your Pokemon to send, you'll be prompted with a message saying, do you want to send them? If you're sure, click OK. You'll get a message stating that the Pokemon has been sent, and you will receive one candy per Pokemon sent. So, apparently, if you want to pick up the Pokemon, you can transfer them right into the game, pick them up, add them to your team. Just keep in mind that there are some restrictions. It should be noted that once you send a Pokemon to Let's Go, the Nintendo Switch game, it cannot be returned back to Pokemon Go on your mobile device. Once a Pokemon is sent, its stats will reroll as if it has been traded. Certain Pokemon will not be allowed to be sent to Let's Go from Pokemon Go. These are mostly event Pokemon, but mythical Pokemon cannot be sent either. Meltan and Melmetal are the only exceptions to this rule. So, they also have some images here of Pokemon not transferable. Obviously, Pikachu and Raichu, all the special hat variants. And same thing with Squirtle, Wartortle, and Blastoise with the sunglasses, and Mew. So, looking forward to these future features rolling to Pokemon Go later this week. But until then, stay active and get up and go. I think that was the whole point of this article. They wanted you to get up and get active. So, there ya have it. And with that being said, we've reached the end of today's show. If we happen to miss something on the show, or there's something that you want us to keep you informed on, be sure to let us know in either the live chat or on our Discord server. Don't forget to enter this month's giveaway over at technewsgadget.net/giveaway. That will do it for this episode of The Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. For all the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news, be sure to head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.